How many of you have been enjoying Wednesday nights? Hasn't this been really exciting just to see God move and use so many different people? And so, as I was really praying about it, I mean, the Lord, right before the service, I had to step out. It's one of the reasons why we started a little bit late, because there were some things that He wanted to talk to me about tonight specifically. So as I was listening and as I was praying about it, we're going to take a few moments to talk about some things I think that will really help you. First of all, Wednesday nights has been about flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, walking in the gifts of the Spirit. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, again, backstory. Paul is writing this letter to a church, to the people in the city, but it's to the church that was in this city, right? And so he wanted people to recognize in verse 3, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord or is his Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are different operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to" what? "Is given to every man to profit with all," or to profit everyone. So the gifts of the Spirit, as we've been learning, are not limited to those that are in ministry. We've all been given a ministry, and we're all part of the body of Christ. And so as a result, the gifts of the Spirit can be an operation in every one of our lives. Amen. And so then he kind of starts describing some of those gifts. Look at verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues." So this is just referred to as the nine gifts of the Spirit that could be in operation. And he says in verse 11, "But all of these works worketh that one and the same self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills." Now, let me read that in the Amplified. He says, "He apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses." One of the things you have to recognize when it comes to walking in the gifts of the Spirit is that you don't choose which gift is in operation. The Holy Spirit chooses what gift needs to be in operation at a specific time. Now, some of the old line Pentecostal denominations, they kind of got this confused a little bit, and they thought that a gift, for instance, I've heard somebody say, "Well, God's given me the gift of discerning of spirits." And so they look at that as a gift that was given, and that's just their gift for the rest of their life. Or that somebody has the gift of healing, and that's just their gift the rest of the life. And so and each one, they look at it as it's a gift that God gives to that person. And that's not really what he's getting across here. What it is that all of us have the Spirit of God. Every one of us can walk in all nine gifts. See, so what we've done in some of our denominations, even Pentecostal denominations, is we've limited what the Spirit of God can do in our lives. Somebody say, "Take the limits off." So how do you walk in all nine gifts? Well, it's whatever gift is needed for that moment, for that purpose. These are ministry gifts. These are intended for you to have for the benefit of others. Say, I can pray in the Spirit. I can pray in other tongues. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up. I'm not operating in a gift of the Spirit necessarily at that point, because what I'm doing is for my benefit. It builds me up. But these other gifts are given to profit others and to minister to others. Now let's go down to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1, I've got to stress this over and over and over again, because this is the key to walking in the gifts of the Spirit, to allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. Follow after charity. Follow after charity. Follow after what? Love. Love is the root of everything that we do. Period. So let me branch off of that for a moment. We have seen more and more people step out and allow the Spirit of God to use them over the last few weeks. And last week we saw somebody that hadn't been used or hadn't allowed themselves to step out and be used to step out. Actually, what was happening is while the music was playing, the Holy Spirit told me to go over and to talk to Tara over here and say, do you have anything? And she said, well, I'm listening. I said, well, be ready, because the Lord has something for you. And so then there was that moment where she got up and she gave the word that God had given her. And then we found out at the very end of the meeting, the lady that was here, that she's never been here to a service before. I'd never seen her before. Got up, came up at the end of the service and said, the words that she spoke are the exact words that I've been praying over my son. Verbatim. We couldn't have arranged that if we had tried. But the Holy Spirit knew, and it ministered to her so much and built her up and edified her, comforted her, and allowed us to, as a body of believers, to pray with her and to be in agreement with her. So that's what God wants to do, but it's done out of love. Now, because of that, there are some things that I'm going to say over and over and over again, because I really believe that what we're doing here on Wednesday nights is really... I know for this church, and maybe other churches are doing it as well, I just haven't talked to pastors that are doing it, it's groundbreaking in the sense that we are making sure that we stay grounded in what we do. Somebody say grounded. What God is looking to do in the church at large, not just this church, but in His body, is to create and to... is to cause people to grow up in Him. And the Bible says that we grow up together and that every joint supplies what his part is. And I think that we've had a body of Christ that hasn't been each one supplying what they're supposed to be doing by the Spirit to the rest of the body. And so in these last days, what God is wanting to do is to raise up and to grow up people to become mature believers who then are supplying their measure of the Spirit on the inside of them and the gift that God has given them, and to flow in the way that God would have them flow. But to do that, you've got to be grounded in certain things. And the number one thing is love. Now, some of us may be at a place that over the last few weeks, I'm like, I'm listening. I want to be used by God. God, whatever you would have for me to say, I'm ready to go. This is where maturity comes in. Listen to what I'm saying for a moment. If you look around, we have 30 to 50 people here tonight. If God used everybody to give a word, we're going to be here for a while. Maturity and love also is okay and doesn't get upset if you haven't been used or if you haven't heard a word from God or whatever. Okay? it's perfectly okay, and it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It simply means that the few that stepped out and said something, it was something that the Lord shared with you, and your time will come. But Pastor, we've been on this for 8 or 9 weeks, and I haven't heard anything yet. Your time will come. And so as you trust in what God says, and as you trust in what is going on, and be okay and at rest, you actually are going to find yourself in a place that you are hearing more accurately. And that's what the Lord wants me to talk to you about tonight. How do you know that what you're hearing is the voice of God? He said, actually, what he said was, teach my people to hear. I said, okay, I don't know that I've ever done it quite this way before, but we're going to do that. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Chapters 2 and 3, this is Jesus that is speaking to seven different churches. And I don't have the time to read through everything that he said to the churches, but I want to show you how he closed each word that he gave to each church. In verse 7, to the church of Ephesus, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He wasn't saying, let him have an ear to hear what I'm saying. He said, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You can sit here and listen to what is being preached and what is being taught and focus only on what I'm saying and what the words that are coming out of my mouth. Or you can open up your spiritual ears and you can allow the Spirit of God to be speaking to you through the words that are being taught. And then you hear what you need to hear from the Holy Spirit for your life. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Well, if the words that he speaks are spirit, then I need to be listening not with my natural ears, because I don't want spirit words just going into my brain. I want spirit words being ministered directly to my spirit, which means I need to open up my spiritual ears. He that hath an ear, let him hear. See, Jesus kind of mixed that together, and he would constantly say in his earthly ministries, if you have ears to hear, if you have ears to hear, after he had already spoken. I'm thinking for just a moment. Maybe somebody here has an answer to this question. Every time that Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, in his earthly ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did he always say it after he spoke, or did he ever say it at the beginning before he spoke? Does anybody know the answer to that question? Do you think it was both ways? Pat says mostly before. Here in Revelations, he did it always at the end. Look at verse 11, the church at Smyrna. He said again, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And then he talks about he that overcomes. To the church at Pergamos. Verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To the church at Thyatira, verse 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Go to chapter 3, to the church at Sardis. Verse 6, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You kind of see this pattern emerging. Verse 13, to the church at Philadelphia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To the church of Laodicea, verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. You must develop the ability to hear the voice of God. I believe that as I go through a few more scriptures tonight, that you will begin, if you will, open up your spiritual ears to just hear and allow the Spirit of God. Out of the things that I say, I'm telling you that I'm going to share with you the things that God has placed in my spirit regarding hearing His voice, but there will be some of you that have more, that will get insight, that will edify, and that will build up. Why is this important? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. First of all, the lifestyle of Jesus. He said, I only speak what I hear or what my Father tells me to say or what I hear my Father say. He lived totally committed to only saying what he heard his Father say. Now, how did he hear what his Father said? He was listening with his spiritual ears. Why? Because he says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so for you to hear the Father talking to you, you must be listening in the spirit, not with your natural ears. Olivia, for a very long time, was afraid of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We started teaching our children from a very young age the importance of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so, as she ran into problems with friends, ran into problems at school, Jennifer, being the loving mother that she is, would just tell her, say, I told you if you'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have these problems. And so when it came to things like that, what the effect that it had on Olivia was it pushed her further away from it. And finally, after years of this, every time she had a problem, Jennifer saying, told you if you'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you'd be fine. We finally just said, look, let's just leave her alone. The Holy Spirit's going to have to draw her. The Holy Spirit's going to have to, she's going to have to want that for herself. We can't force it on her. And that's another thing. If you're ministering to somebody about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the best thing that you can do with regards to that is show them out of your lifestyle, give testimony to what He's done in your life. I used to not talk to people about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I was afraid that it would offend their doctrine. Because, you know, there's so many people that don't believe in it as a separate work, and so I didn't want to be offensive to them. So what I did is I just didn't give them the opportunity to learn what a wonderful experience it really is. I didn't give testimony to the power of God, nor did I give glory to God in my life. That was a part of my life that I kept hidden because I was afraid of offending somebody else. And so as a result, since I wasn't bold enough to talk about what the Holy Spirit was doing in my life, let me tell you, during that period of time in my life, now listen to me, during that period of time, because I would not give voice to what the Holy Spirit had done through me and for me, then I found that the revelation that I was getting from the Holy Spirit, the operations of the gifts of the Spirit, the moves of the Spirit in my life became less frequent. Because the things that God is doing for you and through you are meant to be testified. Your light is to be put on a hill. You're not supposed to cover it up. And what I was doing was when I got around certain people, I would cover up the light. And so as a result, since I wasn't faithful in that area to give glory to God and testimony to it, then those experiences then began to diminish. But what I have found over the last year, as I have found a voice of boldness, any opportunity that I have to talk to somebody about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do that. I'm not afraid. I don't care if it offends them. They need what I got. And if they choose not to receive what I got, that's on them. It's not on me, because I witness concerning the power of God. Now what I've noticed is that I am walking today more and more just in the Spirit. I hear him all the time. He directs my paths. The gifts of the Spirit are in operation. The more I come in contact with people, I'm listening to what the Spirit of God is saying and allowing words of knowledge and words of wisdom to flow through me. And then I give glory and testimony to the things that God has done. And so now I'm being faithful over every little step that I take. I'm glorifying God. I'm not taking glory for myself. And now, as a result, the measure of the Spirit is increasing. The manifestations are increasing in my life. Amen. Olivia told us later that one of her problems with receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit was that she was afraid that then she was going to start hearing voices. That she'd be laying there at night, in the middle of the night, and hear, Olivia. And so it was this fear of hearing this audible voice that was part of it, and the unknown that kept her from doing that. Well, I can promise you that getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is not going to cause this audible voice. Thus saith the Lord. Do this, do that. Mm-mm. The Bible talks about the still small voice. Okay? Now, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. This is so important. Verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, what he is talking about is that when he audibly spoke to the children of Israel, they hardened their hearts when they were in the wilderness. They would not go into the promised land because they did not believe the things that they had heard. But the importance of this scripture is today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but you have to be living today hearing his voice. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Now, what did he just quoted the scripture, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. So there are two things right here that we must be doing today. While it's called today. Now, tomorrow may not be today. Yesterday may not be today, but today is today. Now, when you get tomorrow, a marvelous thing happens. Tomorrow changes into today. So today, I have two commands. One, I need to hear his voice. I don't need to wait till Wednesday night. I don't need to wait till Sunday morning. I need to hear his voice today. And I need to be exhorting others, fellow believers. When do I need to do that? Today. Now, on Thursday, if it's not called today, you don't have to do it. And on Friday, if it's not called today, you don't have to do it. But guess what? It is. So every day you need to look for opportunities to hear the voice of God and to encourage and exhort others. And I believe that the connection can be made that the voice that you're hearing from God while it is called today is also the voice that will tell you what to say to encourage others today. See, we're not trying to just learn to develop and walk in the gifts of the Spirit just so that we can come into church and then a few people get up and they share a word and we're encouraged and we go. No, the whole point of this is for us to develop a lifestyle of hearing the voice of God every day and being used by God to encourage out of the gift that He has placed on the inside of us. So he said, exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, again, he says it again, today, harden not your hearts. Harden not your hearts. Believe what you hear and step out on it. Now, finally, let's go to Titus. How do I hear? How do I hear the voice of God? How do I know that what I'm hearing is the voice of God? This is just an introduction into it. And then I'm going to give you a practical example. Titus, let me give you some quick background. Titus was a young minister of the gospel. And if you've looked at a map, if you remember your geography, and probably most of us do not, but there is an island called Crete, somewhere down there, I believe, in the Mediterranean Sea. And so in this particular book or letter, Paul was telling Titus, giving him some instructions regarding the churches that were founded on this island of Crete. Okay? Now, this is important because you have to understand the culture he was going into. And so as a result, it says in verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed to thee. All right? And he's talking about the qualifications of the elder. Now, I want you to look at verse 9. And this was this is what he was talking about regarding the ministry and those that he was setting in ministry. He wanted them to hold fast, verse 9, the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. This was a qualification. This was one of the main things that had to be established in a person's life before he would set him up to be a bishop or a pastor over a church, is that he had to hold fast the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince those that were coming against them. Now go down to chapter 2. This is for Titus. But you speak the things which become sound doctrine. And I'm not going to go all the way through this except to say that what you're going to find is that the purpose for the sound doctrine, the purpose for him holding fast the faithful word, was to create in, he starts talking about older men, older women, young men, those that are servants. And he starts talking about the grace of God and how the doctrine revolves around that, but how their lives should be changed and what they should be doing in their lives. In other words, sound doctrine was to help grow up and to create mature believers and to create stable Christians. Now, this is what I want you to get right now as I bring this teaching part to a close. The gifts of the Spirit are not given to replace the Word of God. The gifts of the Spirit are given to confirm the Word of God. And what the Lord wants to do in His body is to create strong believers that are strong in the Word, and because of their knowledge of the Word and doctrine, then they will be able to hear accurately every time the Spirit of God talks to them. Because I can promise you, sometime along the way, your flesh is going to get in the way. Your emotions are going to get in the way. You're going to think that you heard from God, and it may be just an emotional reaction that happened in the moment, and it wasn't God. How do you know it's not your emotions, and how do you know that it's the Spirit of God? Because I have spent the time learning what the Word of God says. I know what the voice of my Father is, because as I spend more time in the Word, as I spend more time listening to the Word of God and having ears to hear, then now I'm becoming more acquainted with how my Father talks. But if I decide, after I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I can speak in tongues, but yet I don't spend any time in the Word of God, I'm not going to create any foundation in my life, because whatever I hear has to be God, and it really doesn't matter what this Bible says, I'm going to be in a place that I'm going to be led into error. Let me give you two examples. I have a very close pastor friend of mine in Texas that he has a man in his church that had a vision, and in that vision, God showed him that there's no such thing as the Trinity. And that, what did you say? He's a nut. Or maybe he's just lost. Why? What we don't want to do is we're not trying to create nuts and fruits and flakes on Wednesday nights. What we're doing is we're growing up as a body into the mature things of God and into the deeper things of God. Now, so if you have a revelation that there's no such thing as the Trinity, stay seated, please. But he will not listen to anything else regarding that. He will not allow the Word of God be his guide in regards to that. He's placing more faith. He believes more in his experience than he does the Word of God. Second example. I know somebody that for most of their life was not saved. A few years ago, they went to a meeting, and the Spirit of God hit them, and their whole family got saved. One of the most amazing transformations I have seen in anybody's life. Because when I say that this individual was on the fast track to hell, he was. Probably knew it, didn't care. When I say most of his life, he was well past his 50s before he got saved. Now, got baptized and filled in the Holy Spirit. But somewhere over the last few years, along the way, as he gets up and he prays and all of those things, the Word of God became less important. to the point that now the things that he hears, he has decided that it's not necessary to go to church. It's not necessary to have to be taught from another preacher. As a matter of fact, it's not even necessary to read your Bible. And because nobody agrees with him, he and his family are isolating themselves and will not fellowship with other believers. Now, how did somebody who just got saved a few years ago move to a place that he no longer has to read his Bible because whatever he's hearing in his mind or whatever he thinks the Spirit of God is saying is more important than the Bible? How does a person get to that place? The Word of God wasn't the priority in their life. Now, I know I'm spending a little extra time teaching, but I'm telling you, where God wants to take us from a spiritual standpoint has to be founded. Your life has to be founded on the Word. It has to be founded on love, because those are the things that are going to cause you to speak accurate words from God. Okay? But this is for you to work on during the week. It's not for you to work on Wednesday nights. You need to have a daily diet of the Word of God. You need to get close to the voice of God every single day. That's what God wants us to do. Okay, now, I'm going to ask Selena to go up and just start playing for a few minutes while I give this example. Hearing what the Spirit of the Lord says. Justin, would you come here for a moment, please? I love what the Spirit of God has been imparting into Justin for the last 2 weeks. The words that God's been giving through him has been great. And so he and I, we talked about this on Sunday. So I'm just using him kind of as an example. Is this okay? Okay. I didn't ask him if I could use him as an example beforehand. But what's happening to him, and I'm using him as an example because this may happen to you as you step out and as the Spirit of God tells you things, is even while he's up here sharing, he's getting revelation knowledge. Like, it's just being downloaded. I mean, he's seeing things and he's like, where do I go? What do I say? How do I get this across to people? And so I'm going to use the last word that he gave kind of as an example. And this is a teaching example to show you how to capture what you're hearing from God. Okay. The last word that he gave started off by saying, think about the disciples when they decided to take that step of faith, leave everything that they knew behind, and to follow after Jesus. The very next verse said that Jesus was healing all the sick, casting out devils. They immediately stepped into a realm of miracles. And so the point was that as we step out, because of our obedience, that we step into a realm of manifestation. We step into a realm of miracles, if you will believe. Now, that word is exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted us to get. That's what he heard. Now, Justin is used to taking things because of the business that he's in and then needing to explain and to give the evidence supporting that which he just said. And so he spent a little extra time going through the word and showing how that is evidence for the things that the Holy Spirit had just shared with him. But what I told him is that what God said was that one word. Now, you can take that and give it, and then allow mature believers to receive it and allow the Spirit of God to start showing them the different things, and there'll be people say, oh yeah, see it over here. Oh yeah, see it over there. And so as he's getting all of these different things, what he could do is just say, okay, I'm going to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, Father, what's the word you want me to say? And I'm going to speak that word, and I'm going to be okay with that being enough and not having to add more. Because everything he was getting is awesome. And so I just love what God is doing in this man. So I just use him as an example because all of us have these opportunities. Thank you so much for being obedient to the things of God. And I'm excited to see you continue to grow as the Spirit of God uses you more and more. And thank you for being an example and allowing me to use you as an example. You can sit down. Thank you. So I say that to tell you, you don't have to talk around it. Just say what God says to say. Give me a little more strings with that, please. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's stand up. I believe revelation was imparted into you tonight. But I know that there are some things that the Lord has shared with you. And this is a time of edification, of exhortation. Now, there are more things for me to say, but the Holy Spirit says, stop now, and we'll pick up on this next week. Okay? So let's pray for a moment. Just begin praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's spend some time in worship. Hallelujah. We don't have to be in a hurry about this. Glory to God. Lord, I worship you. Sing. Keep praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your gifts. We worship you, Father. We glorify your name. Oh, your grace. us, Lord.
To bring your purposes to pass. To walk out your plan.
Yes.
So, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you.
You, Lord. Now, as the Spirit of the Lord just begins giving you insight, step out. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. We give you praise, Father. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Remember, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Glory, Father, glory to your name.
It always seems to be a verse that comes to mind, and this time I heard it and I was like, maybe I'm just thinking of a verse that's just, you know, random. But I looked it up and it's Ephesians 6:18, and it says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So I really just have that verse. So.
Beautiful. What verse was it again? Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. That's good. Wendy?
The Father doesn't operate like most people do. He uses ordinary people. He walks in love. It's not a selfish love. He loves all. When we think of somebody not too nice or not smelling good, the Father says, "I love them too." We got to operate in love. It doesn't matter what you think. Put yourself aside. Hear me. I walk in love. It's love that I'm all about. The love will draw the people. The love will cause prosperity. The love will cause prosperity, blessings beyond anything you've ever known. Operate out of love. It's love that will change the people, the country. It's love. It's love. It's love. Not yours, but my love working in and through you. Put yourself aside. Let me walk in love.
Thank you, Lord. We have ears to hear. Ears to hear. Ears to hear. Glory to God.
I just kept hearing the Lord tell me that, or repeat that verse in the song, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I love God because He shows me things in illustrations. It's the best way for me to see things, to relate them to my life. You know, our nation, we live in liberty, we live in freedom. We fought for that as a nation multiple times. God told me that we don't need to fight for that. He's already won the battle for us. And we live in any point in history, there's never been freedom There's never been liberty without peace. In order for you to walk in that freedom that God has given you, in order for you to operate in that freedom, in those gifts that God has given you, you have to know and you have to stand in a place of peace, know who you are in Christ. And that peace is what will give you strength. That peace in knowing your place with God will give you strength. And then you will be able to do whatever God wants you to do.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to God. That's good.
God always gives me scripture too. You know, sometimes people, they feel confused about it. They say, am I hearing from God? Because there is so much in this world, so many voices. But to gauge yourself, am I in the Spirit? Am I hearing from the Spirit of God? James 3 says, but if ye have bitterness or enviness or strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So listen to what the Spirit of God says to you. You can gauge it. You can know whether you're in your spirit. Where is your heart? Everything is motivated by love. Our God is a God of love. Our God moves by love. The love of God prevails over all evil. That's even if something's coming against you, trying to make you think wrongly. You'll be able to discern. So you can discern. Now, is this wisdom from my Father? Is this what the Word says? Or is this just natural, devilish, wrong thinking, stinking thinking? For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of His mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. And the fruit of righteousness, which is sown in peace of them that make peace. Blessed is the peacemaker. You've got the goods. You've got the Word of God on the inside of you. You've got the Spirit of truth on the inside of you. And that's what you got to remember. It's very easy.
That's good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just give it a few more moments. And there may not be anything else. We'll give it a few more moments and we'll just see what this Holy Spirit says. There may not be anything else. I'm just kidding. You're just going to leave that one right there, aren't you?
He comes out here and God tells him, if you have ears to hear. I'm cutting grass this morning and I've always have something in my ear teaching me the Word, and that's what God was teaching me all about, if you have ears to hear. And I was asking him about it. If you have ears to hear, then hear. And he told me right there, I could say, if you have ears to hear, then believe. So you're trying to hear. But when God says, if you have ears to hear, he wants you to believe. When he said that the people in the desert, God told them about the promised land, but they didn't believe. But they heard. They heard what he said, but they didn't believe. It's really that simple. But now the first word we heard up here was about praying in the Spirit on every occasion. You will not, I'm going to tell you this. Now, young Christians can walk a ways with God. But the more you walk with God, the more the devil recognizes you. If you don't pray in the Spirit and edify yourself, you know, the Bible tells you that you can train your senses to walk in the Spirit. Now, that ain't how I want to walk. But it's a good thing to know that you can. But if you start relying on your senses and not the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's been sent to guide us at this time, you can get off by following your senses. But it's still a good thing that you can train your senses that way, but you don't want to depend on it. If you have ears to hear, that's all I was getting. And I cut grass for about 2 hours this morning and listened to the whole book of John and half of Acts. And believe. If you have ears to hear, then believe. And that's what Jesus was always talking about. You know, the word says that angels are ministering spirits that hearken unto the voice of the word. If you want to hear the voice of God, you're going to hear it in the word. And it's all here. He doesn't have anything else to add to this. He gave us everything he has. And if you read this and let that be a voice to you, you'll hear. And if you have ears to hear, you'll believe. And always remember, he always causes you to triumph. He never shows you anything so you can lose. He always shows you so you can win.
Amen. Man, that's good. It's not just enough to have ears to hear. You got to believe. I want to share one more thing with you and we'll close. 2 weeks ago, the Lord had laid something on Jennifer's heart to share, and she couldn't bring herself to do it because she was so emotional as God was dealing with her. And then last week, it wasn't time to share it. But right now it is, and that's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, fervent love. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold, the many faceted grace of God. As you've received the gift, even so minister that same gift as you've received it one to another. It's meant to be given to others. And you want to be a good steward of the thing that God's given you. And then verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The only way you can speak as the oracles of God is if you are hearing what God says. Make it a point that the words that you say are going to be words that come from God. Let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And that's humility. Everything that you do it with recognition out of the ability that God has given to you that he may get glory. The gifts of the Spirit are not given to you to make you seem to be something. They are given to you so that God may get glory through you. when our purpose, when our heart is right, when we start hearing the things of God and step out and speak those things, you're going to start seeing more and more things happen in your life. I'm telling you, I'm walking around now just hearing God every day about different things. There is a level that we shouldn't get there and then come down and then go back up there and then get down. And then we have to pray in the Spirit and get ourselves back up there. Uh-uh. He wants us to stay up here every day in everything that we do. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you for the word tonight concerning hearing your voice. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Today, if we will hear your voice, we will not harden our hearts, but we'll step out and we'll believe the things that we're hearing in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the wisdom that comes from above. We thank you that as we stand in a place of peace, there is liberty. We thank you, Father, that as we pray with all kinds of prayer and pray in the Spirit in everything, that we are built up, that we're edified, we can stay there in that place, hearing your voice, speaking your word. Increase in the measure of the Spirit in your lives in Jesus' name. I declare it. Receive it now in Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. Say, I receive increase of the measure of the Spirit of God in my daily life. I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear. I have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I have ears to hear, and I believe what I've heard. In Jesus' name. Well, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is what Wednesday nights are about. We just went another level. We just grew. You just grew up. You just had some good food tonight. That's what it's about, growing up. Amen. Hug somebody, bless them in Jesus' name. Go out rejoicing. Hallelujah.